count us up this week.
All right, I'll count us up. We'll start at 5.
Count to 20.
All right, I'll count to 20.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20!
Hi everyone, this is Vangelis here with WTF at TFW, where we're protected from the Constitution. With me today are three powerful men. One of them is named Drew Iden.
What up? I just found out we're recording this like 5 minutes ago.
It's sweet. Also with us today is Gog Dog.
I remembered we were recording tonight on August 18th when it was first posted.
And also with us today is... Hello, Mr. Buzzard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Mr. Buzzard.
Good, I'm good because you're good.
Me too.
I love it.
Yeah. And we're here to talk to you today about Transformers. And we're also recording a day early because I'm going to PAX tomorrow.
Lucky.
I just wanted to say. So if you'll be at PAX, you know, say hello to me, seeing how you're going to hear this after PAX if you're going anyway, but... Just, yeah, shut up!
What is the place that you're going? What is that?
The Penny Arcade Expo. It's a video game convention that's, like, next door to me. And I haven't
gone
to
it. Are they sponsoring this podcast?
Might as well be at this point.
Yeah, I'll sort it out. I'll go there. I'll be like, hey, guys, I plugged you in a podcast I'm going to be putting out when I get home.
After the fact. So you're taking that ferry boat, right?
Yeah.
Ferry boat. Have you taken that boat ride before?
I have indeed.
To Seattle?
Yeah.
When you're on the boat and you see the Seattle shoreline appearing on the distance, do you get the same feeling, like, welling up inside you that immigrants feel when they come to America?
The tears fall from my eyelids and I think to myself, opportunity knocks at this shore.
Yeah, they're about to see some awesome WNBA action.
What's that thing called? The Space Needle or something?
Yeah, the Seattle Space Needle.
Yeah.
It's a big tower.
Make sure that you pull a coitus tower and see if you can shoot the moon.
I'll try.
Just stand in front of it and scream, in Canada, we have a bigger one.
I've done that many times because I've been to our bigger one. Seattle one is all like, we want to be cool like Toronto. Space Needle. And it's like, yeah, CN Tower.
Wow.
Done. Seriously, I don't mean to be pride here, you know, and be Canadian pride and all that, but, you know, I'm sorry, CN Tower, all right? They had a virtual reality arcade in the 90s, and I have a videotape of a young me playing blue screen basketball, so...
Well, have a videotape of the current you screaming at people in front of the Space Needle.
I'll try to
get
around.
This convention is in Seattle?
It is in Seattle.
Well, the Seattle Storm, the WNBA team, which I just mentioned, made the playoffs. So look out. You're going to have storm fever.
I'll go there ready for storm fever.
How do you know that, Drew?
I went to SeattleStorm.com. the women of Seattle Storm proudly support WTF and TFW.
I hope
it's got a picture of the Seattle Space Needle right there as on their logo. It's amazing.
You've got some fine ladies on that team. Fine ladies.
10th anniversary. They've been around as long as TFW.
Dribble, dribble, dribble. That's right. TFW's 10 years old. And I've been there since the start. I remember it all. Every single one of you signing up, I was there. Seriously. Anyway, our first topic today is that Revenge of the Fallen was nominated for 11 awards at the Spike TV Scream Awards.
Awesome.
I like that's the first reaction is laughter. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's generally why we're hoping to cover it, because I hope there are no fans of Spike TV out there, or at least their award shows, because I was introduced to Spike TV's award shows through their first annual Video Game Awards. End of sentence. The nominations in full are Ultimate Scream. What? Best Science Fiction Movie. Okay. Best Sequel. Best Effects, Best Director, Shia LaBeouf as Best Actor in a Science Fiction Movie or TV Show, Megan Fox as Best Actress in a Science Fiction Movie, Isabel Lucas, Breakout Perform... What? Sorry, I'm looking at this for the first time. Rain Wilson, best... Who is Rain Wilson?
Dude.
Best cameo.
That's a guy from The Office, his teacher.
Really? Wow.
Do you know who Rain Wilson is?
No.
Oh, you're about to get hate mail.
Oh, God, here it goes. Okay, well, I'll read the thread.
Okay, yeah. That's where you're getting it from.
Me too.
Yeah, how many times has Drew left the show to watch The Office?
Well, I haven't seen The Office.
Get ready, in 2 weeks, the season... I might not even do the podcast in 2 weeks. Season premieres in 2 weeks.
All right, I've been beaten there, but two more awards to go. I will admit, I've been beaten there. Linkin Park, Scream Song of the Year for New Divide. And last but not
scream
least...
Scream Song?
But yeah. The climactic final battle, Optimus Prime versus the Fallen, fight to the death scene of the year. My first question is, what the hell does science fiction have to do with Scream? Because that says horror to me. And other than that, I guess we can just go through these as we wish. I guess we'll just go person by person here. Drew, what are your opinions on the Scream 2009 award nominations?
Good. Good, you know. I assume that on the cover of the DVD will be nominated for 11 Spike TV Scream Awards. A little sticker that I'll keep. However, let's sweep. Let's go big or go home. Let's sweep these awards. What's our competition? Couple Twilight things? I'm not even going to get started
right
on that.
Man. I'm going to take a look right now. Yes, you guys are talking. I'm going to look to see what our competition is. But
Am I right? Others on the podcast? Gog, Seth, Buzzard? Yeah. Let's sweep.
They got to be like the Seattle Storm and just roll into town and leave wreckage in their wake.
Yes. Well, are these being held in Seattle by any chance? And if so, could we get the members of the Seattle Storm to bring brooms with them to this award ceremony?
I would say yes. If I could just take a moment to be completely bewildered, I'm looking at Category 1, The Ultimate Scream, who else we're up against. Why is Up being nominated for a Scream Award? I don't understand!
Because that movie had talking dogs, and that is crazy. If you were walking down the street and a dog started talking, you would scream.
I certainly would. Apparently,
if you were walking down the street and a house aloft by fun balloons flew by, you would scream.
What about Star Trek? What makes you scream about Star Trek?
That dude that played Kirk is really handsome, so the girls scream when they see him, like the Beatles.
All right, maybe I'll accept that. Yeah, okay. Well. Oh, God. Okay.
And that big snow monster screamed.
All right.
Snow monster was always like, "Wah!"
And then Kirk was all like, "What?"
Kirk was like, "This whole giant planet, and I happen to land right next to the damn snow monster.
What's happening?" Okay. Wow. Gog, what are your thoughts on the Scream Awards for 2009?
Okay, I stopped taking this seriously as soon as I saw Best Director. Are you kidding me? Best Director? Of all the things you can nominate Transformers for, Best Director. I mean, come on now. And, okay, climactic final battle, Optimus Prime versus Fallen, like a 10-second fight.
Give me your sweeping face.
Yeah, technically... why didn't the Optimus versus Megatron fight in the middle? I mean, that was a fight to the death, and Prime died, so that was way better than the final one. I mean, the only thing they'll fall. I mean, yeah, they should have a category for best taking of someone's face of the
year. Yeah, we're gonna sweep that.
Actually, if you want to know who else is up for best director, Michael Bay will probably beat Thomas Alfredson, Let the Right One In, J.J. Abrams for Star Trek, Pete Docter and Bob Peterson up. Duncan Jones for Moon, and Sam Raimi for Drag Me to Hill. Hill? Hell. Yeah. Drag me over to the hill! I admit, I would get massive laughs in a total troll sense if Michael Bay took an award away from the likes of Sam Raimi and J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, that'd be, you know, like directors that understand film construction.
Well, I mean, it's because it's
Let the Right One In was pretty good movie.
I never saw it, I admit.
I could see the best FX, you know, and stuff like that, but come on, best director? Who? I want to know the guy who nominated Michael Bay. Like, because that guy needs to find a new job.
It's the guy who thinks that Up fits in with an award show called Scream 2009, I think. But okay, honoring the best in fantasy, sci-fi, comics, and horror. Okay, maybe. Well, it's a dumb name then. I'm sorry. Anyway, yeah. Seth, Mr. Buzzard.
Yeah, let's talk about this garbage. I think the Scream Award should be nominated for most, like, ironic award show, because they must have picked these categories through irony. Like, I mean, the MTV Movie Awards, I mean, is its only competition for dumb-ass categories. Like, what was that one category that I was making fun of earlier? Sequel. Best sequel. Come on, that's a category? Like, what's the competition in that? You got the list. What are the other sequels that are up to bat on this rubbish? All right.
Best sequels. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Punisher Warzone. Yeah, Terminator Salvation. Yeah, Punisher Warzone sequel. What? Terminator Salvation, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, and X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Question, do we get to vote on these? Like, are we the ones
you can,
who
you
vote?
You can vote on the website.
Oh,
everyone
sweet.
Will be voting for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen on every single one of these. Just to troll. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, that's the deal with these, the viewers vote kind of award shows, like the MTV and the Teen Choice Awards and all those other ones. It's just like, here's all the most commercial, superficial movies, because that's all our viewers watch. Like, nothing of artistic merit at all is ever going to be in one of these things. Probably the most like sound filmmaking in this whole damn list is Star Trek that I've seen. I don't look too deep into it, but and then I mean J.J. Abrams was like, he just J.J. Abrams directing that movie was like the dude that just got Photoshop and discovered the lens flare filter. Because he went crazy with that business in Star Trek. I'm sorry. J.J., cool it with the lens flare. We get it.
There's a lens flare filter in Photoshop? What have I been missing?
Something.
We'll Google you up a tutorial pretty soon. Don't worry.
Isabel Lucas, best breakout performance.
That one made me double take. I was like, okay, let me see who she's up against. Hang on. She's up against Anna Torv in Fringe, Zoe Saldana in Star Trek, so someone who was actually on screen for most of the movie, Lorna Raver, Drag Me to Hell, Isabel Lucas, Lena Lee Anderson from Let the Right One In, and Malin Ackerman from Watchmen.
She played the new Silk Spider, Silk Spectre.
The thing is, for a breakout performance, how on earth can you compare Silk Spectre to Pretender Girl, Alice, given their roles?
Out of all the other nominees that you named, I saw Watchmen, I saw Star Trek, I saw Transformers, and those other chicks did more acting
and
were believable than Isabella.
And Anna Torv in Fringe. Fringe is a really good show, and she's the lead actress, and you know she's been on now for like 26 episodes. So how can Seth said, how can you compare that to some robo slut that was on screen for about 5 minutes?
Well, even if you ignore their acting prowess and just look at it numerically, you're comparing someone who was on screen for about 10 minutes to someone who was on screen for about an hour and a half at the least. It's like, There's actual mathematical error in this. It's incredible.
And they're also comparing movies to TV shows. What is going on at Spike? Do they even know what they're doing?
Extreme Man's Channel Entertainment is going on at Spike.
Are they on acid?
Well, I can tell you, just to close this off a little bit, that the other nominees for Fight to the Death Scene of the Year, of movies I actually saw, would be Logan and Victor versus Weapon X, or Weapon 11, Kirk versus Spock, and Ozymandias versus the Comedian. So, also one from Drag Me to Hell and one from Dead Snow, but I haven't seen those, so I don't want to look at the spoiler kind of titles on there.
Well, clearly it didn't make the cutoff, because Inglourious Basterds has the best everything in it. So
I haven't seen that yet either. I admit. Ooh.
Oh, dude. You got to.
But moving along from the Scream Awards, which, you know, we all wholly support and wish well in its future endeavors.
Yeah,
we
can... way to go, Spike.
We can move on to our new picks. So let's start off with Seth, Mr. Buzzard.
All right. I'm all wound up. Let's, hey, there's that Bulkhead repaint that we just got pictures of.
Yeah, about 3 hours ago.
A repaint of the little dinky Bulkhead that nobody likes because the leader class one is more awesome. So, you know, rejoice, Transformer animated fans. The line still has at least one more surprise left in it. Yeah, so, I mean, he's like a different shade of green. There's black in there and gold, and I just got a PM. I'll read that later. I don't know, whatever. I mean, it's cool that, you know, there's all this more animated stuff coming down the pipe, but it's too bad that it's being trickled out like little bits at a time, apparently, and they're starting with the repaints. Like, when are we going to get those new molds?
Well, that? To be honest, that's a question you should ask to whoever it is that gets them from China. So that seems to be our current source, again, of the new infos. It feels like we're back to the lovely period at the beginning of the podcast when we started off last year with lots of pictures of dimly lit toys on Chinese desktops.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not like this is a color scheme that he appeared in at any point in the show. It's just, let's do this mold one more time kind of a thing, which is too bad. I mean, if they're going to be trickling out little bits of animated, it'd be nice if other stuff was happening instead.
Yeah.
Something that was relevant.
Well, it looks to me like, given the markings on his sides, he's some kind of like elite guard Bulkhead. So maybe he's designed to you know, stand beside elite guard Bumblebee.
Well, he doesn't have the wings on his emblem though.
Well.
Ha ha ha. Make up another story.
Well, maybe it's backhand Seth Buzzard Bulkhead, bro, who hits Seth Buzzard. Shut up. Anyway, yeah, I guess we'll hopefully find out some info on it sometime. It doesn't seem to be something that we saw in any of the other lists. Hey, Gog, what's your chosen image of this section of 7 days?
I'm going to pick the... We saw pictures of Masterpiece Skywarp, but they're out of package, and it's kind of disappointing because they're going with the same face that was on Masterpiece Starscream, where the Takara version of Skywarp got a new head with... because for anybody who doesn't know, you can rotate the face, and both... so far, all Seekers have an alternate face, and I'm pretty sure for the Takara versions, weren't Thundercracker and Skywarp, didn't both of them have unique
faces? Or? They had unique faces, yeah. And Skywarp's was the legendary high hand face.
Yeah, so it's kind of disappointing because it looks like Hasbro is just using the same face from the Masterpiece Starscream, so I'm a little disappointed. It's probably not that big a deal, I guess, because I'd rather, you know, just spend the $50 or whatever, because I never bought the Takara version, but I always wanted to. I just never could justify, you know, dropping however much on it. But
well, if it softens the blow at all, I can tell you, for all my talking up and praising of the high hand face, it also does look really dumb. Because it's like his eyes don't change expression, but now his mouth is wide open and he's gritting his teeth. So he's like, "Grr."
Yeah, I mean, it would still be nice to have the differentiation, though. So, yeah. But with that said, I think the G1 scheme on it, you know, makes up for that. So I'm still going to get it. I'm looking forward to it. But it is kind of cheesy that they... I mean, it's such a small piece. It's just this one little tiny mold difference. And you think it wouldn't be too hard to incorporate that. But oh well. But it is worth noting nonetheless.
I'm wondering if it's just like that face is connected to the unchild safety proofed mold or something. So they're just like, let's just use this one. So I did notice in the thread, it seems not that many people are miffed by it. Because they all do have the same base face. That rhymes. The same stock expression. Drew.
I'm going to pick the Japanese strafe pictures. Because, you know, I don't like it. I think it's ugly. I think it's just an ugly remold. It looks like Cyclonus, but red. It doesn't look like a different character like it's supposed to. I think it's kind of maybe one of the ugliest repaints I've seen them do over there. And, you know, there's been tons that I've been like, wow, that looks awesome. But this kind of just doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is that they were going for, but I don't like it. But we got new picks of it. I don't have to like the new pick of the week. So I'm bringing everyone's attention to the ugliness that is Henke Strafe.
Yeah,
I agree.
It was a valiant idea. The strafeness of him is that way up there on his nose cone, he has these two little nubs, so they painted those orange, and that kind of resembles the old Strafe in a really, really abstract way.
You could paint my nipples orange. That doesn't mean you're going to call me Strafe.
Well, the only real points I give this is that it works in no way, shape, or form, and for some reason I find that really appealing. But in the kind of sense where I would buy this for $5 and not, like, go, you know, hunting for the Gente or whatever. So I'm happy it's coming out for the people who are after it. Very, very happy. For other people. We did get a translation of his bio. Strafe got shot and changed back into his old form because he was apparently built from a dead body inside Unicron. So,
oh, sure, like every other Transformer that got repainted in the past 15 years. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hating on Strafe. Is that a crime?
No. I don't know. We'll find out in the thread.
They should have hired White Mocha to do their Cyclonus repaint.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, no,
yeah,
because
right?
This thing is going to be friggin' hard to get a hold of, and I'm kind of happy that I'm not really into it. This is the one for the Visa card.
Yeah, it's 100. I'll throw down $100 for this thing. That's gross.
Oh, Strafe. I wish I had something nicer to say. I'm sorry. My own picture pick would be Disney labeled Donald Duck in color. his robot mode is actually visually bewildering. I've found. The first time I saw it, I had no idea what I was looking at because it's just like. It's the car kibble on him sticking off all over the place, and it, you know, and it also happens to be the same color as his hands and his legs and his feet. So I was just like, "Well, what is this?" It's interesting. It has a skateboard, and he's covered in pieces. It's like he looks way more battle ready, I guess, than the Mickey Mouse Prime. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing how he transforms. It will be interesting.
It looks like he has a snorkel, but the snorkel's coming out of his goggles.
So you can breathe through his eyes. Seriously, this guy, at least maybe, it looks like he transforms a bit better than the Mickey Mouse one, unless he somehow just folds up entirely. No, you can see bits of him in there. Yeah, this one actually transforms more. So there you go, Disney label fans.
He has his own faction symbol, that just like Mickey did.
Yeah.
I
didn't notice.
Interesting.
On the hood of his car.
So, if I was a huge Disney fan, I mean, I'd be picking these up. They're just too pricey for what they are, though. If they had more articulation, it would be a lot better, too, but...
I'm pretty sure this guy is going for the same price as Mickey, which was around, like, what, $45-$50?
Yeah, everyone... I never saw it for less than $45.
Well, it's more visually appealing to me, and I like how it's, like, you know, it's a... blue, primarily blue duck, and he turns into an almost solid yellow and silver car. So props to that. So,
well, I like how they keep the gimmick going of the character driving both the vehicle and the robot.
That is cool, yeah. Although, like, Donald Duck is a somewhat terrifying character, so I actually kind of like the intimidating factor of him having a giant robot.
I'll say this right now, if they make DuckTales versions, I'll get every one of them.
Oh, dude. Disney label.
Darkwing Duck one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that too. Darkwing Duck and DuckTales. Yeah. Make a Megavolt.
Oh, man.
I think I know what the next Disney label is going to be.
Wolverine?
Definitely going to be Wolverine. Absolutely.
Why?
Because of some topic that people talked about. I don't know. It's a shame that topic has no relevance to Transformers. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Anyway, those were our new picks. I guess they were a little sparse, but it's been a sparse news week. So there you go. Next up, just throwing out a little mention, segueing into a quick story. Hasbro Canada is attending the 2009 Canadian Action Figure Expo. Zay, I guess. Expo. What does Expo stand for? Is it Exposé? That's what I always assumed, yeah. Sure. Why don't they just put the Zay on the... I mean, it's Canadian.
Exposition. Exposition.
As an apostrophe over the
exposition.
We're going to tell you all about what you need to know about it. Also, apparently Sergeant Slaughter will be there, so whoa. You know, whoa.
That's the most exciting news I've heard about that thing.
Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter, dude. He's come up in there, do the Cobra Clutch on you.
Oh, why is Sergeant Slaughter going to Canada?
He is, in fact, he's headlining as the other guest over top of Hasbro Canada. Whoa. Okay.
He's going AWOL from the Army. That's why he's going to Canada.
He's heading up to Canada to recruit some of us back down to the States. Join G.I. Joe. It's on Sunday, September 20th. It's only one day.
He's going to get the draft dodge.
All right, maggot. The show hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., so go there if you want to meet Sergeant Slaughter or if you want to meet Hasbro Canada, because they're actually pretty decent dudes. Surprisingly, considering that they're a foreign offshoot. But I also wanted to mention that this segues a bit. My friend, the goddamn Proto Man, was recently at Fan Expo. Again, Fan Expo what? Expose. And he had the quote-unquote pleasure of bumping into Leonard Nimoy's autograph lineup. And he also charges $60 for an autograph. So there's Proto Man's story. Check his Twitter for more info.
Moving exhibition.
On. Exhibition. Oh, that makes sense. Well, no, wait. Exhibition Expo?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm looking at Wikipedia. It says it's short for Exhibition and Exposition.
Whoever's responsible for this...
I was right, although not in the context.
Whoever's responsible for this abbreviation is now my enemy for life. That's all I'm going to say. It's like Marvel, you know. If Marvel Disney, they cancel Nova, they are my enemies for life, too. Oh, wait, that's unrelated. Also, we got a product designer interview translation, once again, from those spiffy new Transformers Generations books. This is Hisashi Yuki. And this is a guy who is apparently responsible for almost all of the modern Transformers that have well and truly made me look at them and say, wow, this is crazy engineering. So I'm actually finding these interviews really interesting entirely for the fact that we're learning, like, the resumes of particular designers, and it kind of offers another sense of comparison between toys. So I'm enjoying that from a toy geek perspective. This guy worked on stuff like The Doctor, The Fallen, Rid Prime, Lyo Convoy, Big Convoy, Revenge of the Fallen Sideswipe, and I believe Alternators Skids. So there's some cool info in here, including information on the Beast Wars Neo Unicron, which this guy also designed. So did any of you guys not get around to checking out the interview? Holy crap, okay. Hey, Seth, what did you think of the interview?
No. Well, one piece of information that he related that I thought was surprising was when talking about designing the movie toys, how they would just be given an image of the robot's front, the robot's back, and then some pictures of the vehicle. That surprised me that so little was made available to the toy designers. Mm-hmm. I would have thought and assumed that they would have been given, like, computer models and multiple angles or, like, some AutoCAD business they could rotate or renders of the transformation sequence. I'm surprised that they're given so little information.
Yeah, but I think the reason why they did that, though, was because it's been stated before that they wanted the toys to better match everything for this line. And to be honest, from what I've gathered, that's what the movie people start off with as well. They have a concept picture of the robot mode. They have the picture of the vehicle. And I think the work in progress for them is making that work. But instead of I think some of those designs were probably finalized, like, not too short before, you know, the CG work began. Like, I've also seen other things, like with, I think it was with Ratchet from the first movie, that they actually changed the way he transformed from a couple of CG models. So, I can kind of understand that, but I think probably the main reason why they did it was just to give the toy people more time to make the robot modes and everything match up better.
Yeah, well, he also said that they changed sideswipe on him, or not sideswipe, sideways on him late in the game. Mm-hmm. That he had a much different looking robot, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, guess what? It looks like Barricade." And he's like,
"Yeah, tires on the arms, go." And that kind of explains my one thing that confused me, which is why they would go to the point of like engineering extra tires on the hands when they flip underneath and whatnot. It was just strange, but it's been explained. So again, I love these interviews. Big, enormous thanks to Sydney for translating them, and as well as thanks to Saul Fury, the British butcher himself, for cleaning up the translations a bit. Although Sydney's English, you would never believe if anyone tried to tell you that Sydney doesn't speak English as a first language. That guy's awesome. He tried to help me pre-order the first Transformers live-action movie while I was in Japan from Lawson's. I never actually managed to pull it off, but he put up with a whole lot of my questions, so... Sydney is cool. Drew, what do you think of this interview?
I thought it was cool. When I was reading even the description, they brought up Unicron from Beast Wars, and yeah, I was like, no way. That's maybe the one thing I still kind of geek out about, because that thing is crazy. Oh man.
Well,
I would love to somehow still see that, even if they like brought it over and we were able to just look at it at a BotCon, that'd be fun.
Yeah, and now knowing that this guy worked on it, I'm like, the big thing that people would kind of knock that one for is, oh, half the planet's on his back, but knowing that this guy worked on it now has me wondering, like, exactly what could that toy do, because this guy is all about like the most unsimple engineering ever.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, well, even with half the robot or half the planet on the back, I think it still looks years more advanced, like miles ahead of the Armada one that did come out. The Armada one looks like a little baby toy in comparison, in my opinion.
You hate that figure so much. Whenever it comes up, you take jabs at it.
I bet that Yuki here really appreciates that, though.
Better.
Apparently he's still got a little bit of, I wouldn't say aggro, but I'm sure he wouldn't disagree to seeing that design get resurrected somehow.
Well, I'm sure he worked hard on it. I mean, if I spent all however long it must take to design something like that and then they pull the plug, I'd be bummed out.
Well, to quote him, he says he put everything into it back then. When he looks at it now, he sees unsatisfactory bits, so he'd love to have another go at the design, do the revenge of Unicron. Honestly, I say let him do it, you know, somehow. Figure it out.
Yeah, just let him do it and then throw it away like you did the first time. just keep screwing with him until he finally cracks. Goes bonkers.
He redesigns the entire office into a Beast Wars Neo toy. Gog, what do you think about this interview?
It's cool. I mean, just like you said, I do kind of geek out as well with how Takara Tomy is doing the whole, you know, meet the designer and basically listing all the figures they designed, and it's really cool. He's created a lot of the toys that I love, like Alternator Skids. Like, that's one of my favorite toys ever. And it's funny because in the interview he said he actually liked the toy so much while he was designing it, and he said he always wanted to have a car of a toy that he designed, so he actually went out and bought a Toyota BB, which we know in the States is a Scion XB. And it's kind of funny because I kind of did the same thing. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say it was based entirely on the toy, but it did help. Like, I don't know if the car would have ever even been on my radar if I hadn't had it. But But so that was neat too. But he also designed Car Robots Fire Convoy RD Prime, mm-hmm. and a lot of people consider that to be one of the better primes mm-hmm. ever made toy wise. So this guy has a lot of cool stuff on his resume. So
and what I really like is that a lot of people I've talked to have told me the Ice Cream Twins, those new toys, are they're simple but somehow still kind of unbelievable to transform. And then you look at the picture at the bottom of the interview and you take a look at what's on his desk and it's like, oh, hey, look, it's the Ice Cream Twins and the Twins toys. It's like, oh, hey, some of the other most unbelievable recent toys I've messed with.
Well, that's one of the comments I had the last Odd Show when I talked about the Ice Cream figures, even though I didn't think the robot modes were all that great. Just the number of tiny pieces that move, like little panels that you have to move around. I was amazed how many small bits there are on those guys.
Yeah, this guy is just, that seems to be his thing. Gog, if we ever got him to a BotCon and you were there, would you totally go like, you know, Scion BB Brofist time?
Yeah, man. I had to bring Sydney to translate, but...
Hey, Sydney.
If I can get Sydney Y to come with me, you know, I'll pay his airfare. You know, we'll hang out a little bit, and then he can be my personal translator for the day.
Yeah, and lead up to this excellent Brofist.
Yeah. I actually have an extra. That's the only alternator that I bought doubles of. I'd get him to sign it.
Ooh, I actually have the alternator and the Binaltech because I like that toy so much.
I do too. I also have Binaltech Broadblast.
Man, I love you, Yuki. The part of this interview that hasn't been mentioned yet that really struck me as cool, and it's really small, but I love how not only does Fire Convoy or Rid Prime have a special place in his heart, apparently the shake hands combination for Godfire Convoy or Omega Prime was something he really wanted to realize, and he actually went to the anime staff meeting to personally ask the director to include it. And I think that was really cool, because that was, no matter how much that combination can annoy someone, the whole handshake aspect of it is one of the coolest design touches ever. And knowing that this guy is almost entirely responsible for that, again, makes me go like, wow, Yuki, I love you. Let's make man children or something. Anyway, this is a really good interview. That's what I'm trying to say. Man children or not. Although I'm always up for man children. Hey, I think it's time for an intermission, so we'll be back in a sec with what we bought or got this week or these last 14 days, because that's how long a week is in podcast world.
For some of us.
When you change into Fun Pals and Underoos underwear, you can pretend to change into a hero.
Masquer Illusion is the ultimate weapon. By the power of Grayskull, He-Man! Here.
Imagine you can change into all your favorite heroes from Superman to Thundercats with Fun Pals and Underoos underwear.
More than meets the eye. The Transformers.
With Fun Pals and Underoos, you can change into a hero.
Freddy, what are you doing up there?
We're back, and we're going to talk about things we acquired over this last period of time between the last time in which we spoke about the things we acquired, but that's not snappy, so I just call it what we got this week. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Seth.
Yo.
What did you get this capital W week?
Are we talking about Transformers?
Generally, but, like, if you got a billion Joes again, I want to know how many.
Yeah, I didn't get no Transformers. Not for trying. I tried. I looked. I went a lot of places. Just didn't find anything I want. Dude, check this out. I went to Toys R Us, right, in Santa Rosa, and... The deluxe pegs, they had like six pegs for deluxe Transformers. All six pegs were filled front to back. So however many that is, six, eight, I don't know. I didn't look that close. Just a full section of deluxe Transformers. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not lying. They were all Mudflap and Ravage.
Wow.
So
I thought you were going to say Wheelie.
No, Mudflap and Ravage. They had a lot of Mudflaps and Ravages. Unfortunately, I was not looking for Mudflaps and Ravages. So I did not find anything good in that regard, but I did get a bunch of Joes, because that's what I do. Big Bad Toy Store, they had that sale going on. I got a bunch of Joes on sale. I got a bunch of movie Joes. I got some vehicles. I got that mole pod that you're so in love with.
Nice.
I still think that the Terra Viper is junk.
It's a drill with a cockpit. I don't care what it comes with.
Yeah. I'm drilling. Well, I'm more interested in the dudes than the vehicles and trying to pass off a brown and silver croc master as a Viper is kind of cheesy.
That's why you take him out. You put Destro in it, because that's like Destro's personal planet raper.
Maybe if Destro was in that scene, that would have been cool. But he wasn't, so whatever. No, but Joes are awesome. I like Joes.
Coolness. I almost bought Joes off Big Ben. I keep resisting because the shipping kills all the sale deal.
Come on. Well, then you break even.
I don't want to break even. I want to break winner.
Boom.
That's right.
You're going for the sweep when it comes to buying G.I. Joes on online toy stores.
Exactly. I don't have time to half-ass it. I'm all or nothing.
You're the Seattle Storm of buying Joes.
That's right. I'm the
Sue Bird?
No, I'm the Susie Batkovich Brown, center number 9 of buying stuff.
The lumberjack. That's what they call her.
Really?
I don't know.
Maybe. Checking her bio page now. Not like I have this all open or anything, and that she's from Australia and is 6'4" and weighs 203 pounds and was born in 1980. Well, that's cool. Drew, did you get anything this week?
I picked up a little bit of Mad Men Season 1 and Season 2 for a combined total of $36. Thank you very much, Mr. Roboto.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Felt good. It also was my birthday last week, as
happy
I foretold.
Birthday.
Oh, yeah. So I got a...
Happy birthday, Drew.
Yeah, sing it. Good.
How old are you?
Like 24.
Oh, if I could only be 24 again.
Oh,
I got sent a nice little package. It contained Transformers number 1 and number 2 from the 80s, the comics from the 80s. That's nice. That was nice.
That was awesome.
So, yeah, I had a good week.
Coolness.
Cool, man. Cool.
And our birthdays were like right next to each other. That's crazy.
Oh, and I should mention that. I don't know if I mentioned this, but Serial Geek magazine came out last week, and it features my colors over some of Makoto Ono, is that how you say his name? Mako-chan.
Yeah.
He asked me to color 2 pictures for him, and they're in Serial Geek magazine, which is available at serialgeek.com.
Oh, nice.
What issue is that?
It's issue number 5. It's the latest one. It has a picture of Devastator on the cover as if it were the Fantastic Four. So it's like number 1. So a picture of Devastator coming up, and he's holding RC as if RC were the Invisible Woman. I didn't color that one. Inside, I colored a Ghostbusters picture and a Quintesson picture. So
sweet.
Look for it.
Have to check that out.
I'm pretty proud of them.
Wow. That's cool. And Mako does pretty good artwork.
It's probably some of the nicest art I've ever colored. So,
man, that's awesome.
I'll show it to you guys afterward.
All right, wicked. I'm going to put that in as the chapter picture.
Well, that might be illegal.
Oh, I thought you meant you were going to show us on the website.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll look for something on the website that is online there. Anyway, hey, Gog, what did you get this week?
Well, after my last attempt at getting a scalpel, I soon learned that if you hold the package up into the light and peer inside of it, you can detect the cracked legs in package. Because I was like, was this something I did? Like, did I unpack them wrong? Because the legs are kind of, have an extra layer of plastic around them. I'm like, did I do something? And so I started peering into the packages, and nope, you can see the cracks right inside. I don't know. But I finally searched, and I found one, and when I opened it up, it looked good. One has a little bit of a stress mark, but the guy is just so intricate. I mean, like we were talking about, now we know who designed it, and... You know, the guy, Yeah, the figure itself is great. It's just the plastic choice in the legs was really poor. It's way too brittle. But, I mean, from an engineering standpoint, it's a fascinating little figure. And that's why, even with my bad experiences, I still wanted one. But But yeah, so I did end up getting a decent one, and he's a cool little critter. As far as scouts go, I'm really impressed with a lot of the scouts in the movie line, even more so than I am a lot of the larger figures.
That's very true.
And yeah, and I had seen Ejector a few times, and I had passed just because the face, I don't really like the face on it all that much. But I saw another one yesterday, and I was like, man, he's a toaster. I got to get the little toaster guy. So I bought him too. And again, he's just, I mean, there's just so much to him. So many panels move and pivot and rotate and flip out. And it's just, it's really cool, like the engineering that's going into these little scouts. So, and that's the kind of stuff I like. Like, you get into the bigger figures with all these gimmicks and electronics, and I think it takes away from the figures. Like, these smaller ones with all the moving parts and stuff is where it's at. And then third, I also got the Ice Cream Twins. So, and they're neat. I echo mostly what Seth said. The vehicle mode is awesome. The robot modes leave a lot to be desired. I think that could have been corrected with some paint apps, because a lot of the bot modes really don't have a lot of paint. And it's obvious, just like a lot of the rest of the Revenge of the Fallen figures, is that they concentrated paint-wise on the vehicle mode.
Yeah.
Which we've seen almost across the board with this line, which is fine. And, I mean, the ice cream truck, I think, is the highlight of the figures anyway. But I'm who knows? I mean, maybe with a little bit of white paint here and there, they would benefit quite a bit. So I may even, I don't know if I'll bother with it, but it's at least the having the option is nice. But I'm still glad that I got it. It's a very gimmicky figure, or a pair of figures, and it's just funny. It's hilarious. So, but yeah, that's it really. Nothing. I got Black Lagoon, the anime seasons 1 and 2 on DVD. So that's awesome.
Everyone's DVDing it up. I actually pulled the DVD victory this week myself. Went by Zellers looking for Transformers or G.I. Joes and found neither. But I found, for $10 Canadian, the Best of Brave Star. And here's the thing. For $10, disc 1, the Marshall Brave Star opening movie. Disc 2, like 5 or 6 episodes chosen by fans. Thing is, there's like creator commentary and stuff. And this is like an old Filmation cartoon about space cowboys. And it was $10 and it was loaded with extras. So I was like, I have to have this. And turns out it might have the most infamous anti-drug TV episode of the entire 80s where the kid dies at the end.
Wow.
It's a good one.
most of those end up just having somebody like not feeling well, and their dad comes over and puts their hand on their shoulder and says, you know better, and then everybody holds hands and has a powwow at the end and says, oh, I won't make that mistake again. And
This episode, I can't remember what it's called. I'm pretty sure it's The Price, because the moment I said I had this, like, a couple people all went, like, especially Jaidi, this guy I know, who's way into the Filmation stuff, he's just like, go watch The Price. And I was like, okay, I think I can guess what The Price is. Years ago, I saw the clip of the scene on YouTube, and it was literally like they walk into the kid's bedroom, and you just see this like limp, lifeless hand hanging down onto the ground next to a pile of spilled pills. And then Brave Star like comes back out and just shakes his head or something like that.
Dude, space cowboys don't mess around. It's for real.
They especially don't mess around with drugs. They're space cowboys.
That's right. So I'm looking forward space to cowboys. When I finally get the inclination to sit down and watch all this, because I got a lot of DVD catch up. I got Venture Brothers Season 3, finally.
Ooh, finally.
Finally. Also got the second season of Get Smart, so I'm happy about that.
Finally.
And finally. And I also got a late birthday gift in the mail. I can't remember if I mentioned one of these on the last episode, because I was all like, oh, my birthday, huh? I'm so awesome. But I got basically a pile of SH Fig Arts, Japanese Bugman action figures. So I got the guy from Apocalypse Zero. I did mention that. But just yesterday I got a package with Kamen Rider Black RX and Kamen Rider Agito. Black RX, many of you will remember as the main suit design that was used for Masked Rider back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So it comes with his lightsaber. But, yeah, I wish I had more. I was trying like mad to find at least, like, I don't know, that little missile dune buggy guy that is in the same wave as Scalpel, and I couldn't find him. So my area is very much tapped out. There was some stuff I could have bought, but I just wasn't interested in it, so I left it alone. Lots of repainted deluxes and whatnot. So I'm still holding out. I found a Stratosphere on my birthday, so I must be able to find something else out here. Damn it. I'm actually pointing in the air and waving my hand around as I'm saying that.
I think I'm kind of burned out a lot on the movie stuff.
I am kind of burned out. Like, I was just telling a couple people, I think I was telling GOG too the other day, like, with the whole video reviewing thing, I have lots of Revenge of the Fallen toys to make videos about, but I'm way more creatively inspired to make videos of other stuff. Like, I don't know what to say. It's like, I think it's because we've been so inundated with movie everything. I'm like, what am I going to say in a video about Scalpel? It's like, I mean, now I have all this stuff to say about the designer, but that's very little to do with the actual toy, so...
Yeah, I'm much more eager for those animated figures to come out.
Me too.
My disappointment in the repaint.
I miss animated. I miss animated so much.
It's
toys at all.
It's strange. It's just because, like, for me, like Revenge of the Fallen toys, they are unbelievably well engineered, and I generally think they're excellent toys. But now that I've been so almost poisoned by having a case where there's a cool cartoon show and a cool toy line and a cool comic and it's all linked together, it's like I've lost the attachment to the, you know, non-toy aspects of what I'm buying now. Because, like, you know, fun movie, but I don't want to go out and buy, like, you know, I don't buy Stratosphere because, oh my god, I remember when Stratosphere did this awesome cool thing, because he didn't do anything. He just has Tiny Prime. But, yeah, I don't know. Weird.
You didn't do anything, Stratosphere. You just have Tiny Prime.
You son of a... I hate you, Stratosphere. Well,
there's a theme for a video.
That's
make
you.
A video like that. That'd be rad.
It's a whole video in that voice.
At a Toys R Us, just yelling at a...
just 10 minutes of berating them.
Little kids are like, what?
You need to go to little kids, like, is he that, Stratosphere? He did nothing!
At the end of the video, his lifeless hand flops to the side and still fall out.
The price of Stratosphere. Hey, moving on, we have like a pair of listener questions. Did I mention we have a queue of like 6 of these?
Oh,
I want to congratulate everybody for actually making the listener question section into work. And by congratulate, I mean I thank you very much, but what the hell? I actually have to keep a list now and stuff. This is weird. I'm not used to it. But our first question comes from Nerdformers. Oh, no!
Hey, this is a listener question for the podcasters down at WTF at TFW from TFW 2005. My TFW name is The Nerdformer. And so I was wondering what Transformer toy you would like. If you could have any Transformer toy ever made, then what would it be? And it has to actually exist. I know it's kind of stupid that I'm making rules, but anyway. And then my other question would be, what Transformer character would you like to see in Transformers 3? So, that's my questions. Bye.
So the question, the two-part question, number one, what toy would we want? It has to exist, by the way. And part two, who would we like to see in Transformers 3? Let's open up with Drew to the Iden.
Yo, doggies. Well, I was going to say Masterpiece Rodimus, but I guess I can't because that doesn't exist yet. So, I don't know. Let's go back in time. And let's say, you know what? I always wanted to get the cassettes. I've never had the cassettes, ever. So, I would probably buy one of the 2-packs of the cassettes if I could go back in time and get one. I remember being like, oh, I want that. And at the time, whoever was with me was like, no, that's too expensive. Come on, let's move on. And I was like, oh, all right. So,
you've never had any cassettes at all?
No, I don't know. I don't own any cassettes.
Oh, wow.
Drew was the most agreeable child that ever walked the earth. No, it's too expensive. All right. That's a compelling argument. Yeah. I can't argue with that.
I knew that if I didn't put up a fight, that next time I might get something.
Oh, you were clever. You were thinking long term.
Crafty.
All right. Gog, what do you want?
I would like to have the eHobby exclusive versions of G1 Starscream, like the Ghost and the,
I got that.
The Black. I know.
I got that one too.
You're not helping. You're not helping. Why don't you give me yours, Seth?
Why don't you give me yours?
Why don't we turn this into Christmas in September? Why don't we do that?
My black one's mint and sealed box still.
Yeah, okay.
M-I-S-B.
Well, yeah.
That should be in a museum.
Unfortunately, your douchebaggery has been set free.
Should be in a museum. So.
You should AFA it. Then you can take it out to lunch with Takara or something. I don't know where I'm getting that from. Seth, what would you like?
Well, I just got the greatest gift of all.
Yeah.
I would, you know what? I want Sky Gary because he's from the sky and his name is Gary. And he needs to piggyback all up on my Star Convoy.
Death Gary gun. That's all I'm saying.
Sky Gary. He's the only Transformer with like a human name. So that's awesome. Gary.
Rosanna. Rosanna! What are you talking about?
No, I mean a real one.
He's nerd raged.
And how he's taking that whole eHobby Starscream thing real hard.
I could have bought those for $30 at one BotCon, and I didn't because I thought $30 was expensive.
I thought you were going to say because you thought they were dumb. That would have been hilarious.
No, that's why I didn't spend $30 on the friggin' clear and black hot rods, which I'm kicking myself for to this day. Anyway, wow. That was some aggro on my part. If I could have any toys, Action Master Elites, all of them. I'm not actually going to pick one. I'm going to say I want all of them. I want all four because I want a spare Spream and I want the other three. I want them loose. I want them complete. And I want them for under $50 a piece, if not just handed to me on a silver or platinum patter. Platter. Shut up. Anyway.
You preempted me. You told me to shut up before you even left my mouth.
I just want free toys. Anyway,
get some fans.
Action Master Elite. That's what I want. The other part of the question was, who would you like to see in Transformers 3? My answer is Action Master Elite Turbo Master, the pink master of the skies.
That's funny, because my pick is Omega Spream, Action Master Elite.
I was about to say, Dryden, what's your pick? And it seems it's Omega Spream. Gog Dog, who do you want in TF3?
I want DevCon.
DevCon? Action Master Elite DevCon or just DevCon?
Yeah, Action Master Elite would work, sure.
All right. And Seth, who would you like to see in Transformers 3?
Besides Sky Gary, I'm going to say Circuit Breaker. Yeah.
Dude, Mila Jovovich as Circuit Breaker.
That would be an awesome choice for Circuit Breaker.
And human liaison Omega Spream in the most passionate love scene of the decade. In case anyone doesn't know, I am, of course, working on the script of Transformers 3 as we speak. And let a few juicy...
You know, I've read it. No. I've read it. It's not bad.
I know.
I expected it. I didn't expect good things. But, you know, not bad.
I'm an unexpected kind of dude, you know? I come out of left field with something snappy and something memorable.
Hey, can I change my answer?
Okay.
I want I can't remember the name of it, but or the name. Hold on, though.
Can I change my answer to something I don't even know?
But you'll understand why. Okay, but whoever I can't remember the name of the pretender, but it's the pretender from Master Force, the one where he gets called up and he's going on a date with a woman. You know, I want that guy in TF3. Like he's like pimping the human ladies, and then can like grow like three times the size into a transformer.
Wow.
Oh, who was that? Did anybody here watch
Pretender Mac Daddy? I actually don't. If it's not Goldhawk or whatever, then I don't remember who.
Silverhawk?
No, it wasn't Silverhawk. It was like Metalhawk.
Metalhawk. Yeah.
If it's not Metalhawk. Yeah, I forget the name.
I can't remember that guy's name.
One of them is called Diver.
Okay, I'm going to have to know. I'll look
dive
it up
dive?
Before we're here. Before we're
the
here.
Dive is a heroic GoBot.
I kind of want dive in there.
Oh, man. Well, you know, they already said Tidal Wave isn't doable, so I figured dive is unfeasible at this point.
Well, don't you want to just say movie dive dive? Don't you just want to be able to say that over and over? Did you get movie dive dive? Yeah, I got movie dive dive. Did you get movie dive dive? People are going to go crazy.
I guess so. You're winning me over here. No, Action Master Turbo Master. Action Master Elite Turbo Master. The Pink Master of the Skies is who I want in here. It's colon the Pink Master of the Skies, not Disguise. We had one other listener question, by the way.
It was
here we go.
It was Lander.
Lander, there you go, Lander.
Lander, I hardly knew her.
Lander, King Mac Daddy of other races.
Oh, look at that guy! Look at Lander. Jeez.
All right, continue.
All right, sorry. Well, Lander has won the podcast, but we have one more listener question, this time from Radicon's moderator, Nemesis Preda King.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Nemesis Preda King here with a question for you guys at WTF at TFW. I was just wondering if it's possible for it to be answered by both crews. If not, well, that's the way it goes, right? Anyway, I was just curious if you guys had any funny or interesting stories about meeting your fans in real life. That's pretty much it, guys. Can't wait to hear what you have to say.
So Nemesis Predaking would like to know if we have any funny or interesting stories of meeting fans of, I'm assuming, the podcast in real life. I'd actually say I'd like to open it up slightly more to just fans of work, since me and Gog and Seth have a very distinct advantage in that we were at BotCon, which provided like a billion stories. So I want to open it up a little bit to be fair to Drew.
Well, I mean, BotCon 2006 through 2008, people were coming up to me being like, yo, great work on the podcast. And I didn't know what they were talking about, but.
Well, we're not supposed to mention those guys because of that whole, you know, one fate is unchangeable thing. Didn't you see Terminator Salvation or Terminator 3?
Oh, I didn't, no.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I've never met anyone who has heard of the podcast. I've met people who, like at BotCons, who were aware of things I've done. One guy asked me for an autograph. That was cool. Asked me for an autograph.
Must have felt it, felt nice.
It did. It boosted my ego for about 10 minutes. Bonk. And I got punched in the face by the guy who designed Unleashed.
But hey, but if I remember correctly, Drew, didn't someone come up to you at your work and say, are you Drew Iden from the podcast? Didn't that happen?
What happened was he was wearing a BotCon shirt. And I go, oh, BotCon, I was at the one last year. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then he saw my name tag and was like, oh, I know who you are. And I was like, oh, very good. Very good.
Well, that's a funny or interesting story that has to do with the podcast. There you go.
Ah, well, I've told that one before.
I know, but we can redux it.
Oh, we're rehashing. That's right.
V2 with 3D. Put on the glasses. Good. All right. Excellent. Hey, Gog, have you got a story to share?
Nothing really necessarily funny. TFW member Insane Galvatron was down here on a vacation with his girlfriend, and he shot me a PM and said, hey, man, be around where you are. You want to meet up? So we drove around. I drove over there, and we met up and had dinner and stuff, and it was fun. It was cool meeting him. That was before BotCon, so he was really the first person I'd ever met as far as via the podcast or what have you. But yeah, just like Vangelis said, at BotCon, we just got assaulted by awesomeness. Notable people that I met, and don't feel ashamed if or feel offended if I forget anybody, just because half the time I can't even finish my sentences because my brain floats off into the clouds. But I met Silvershot, which was a really nice guy. T16 Skyhop, just so many people that just came up and said, hey man, you know, I recognize you. And it was really a neat time. But yeah, I mean, nothing particularly notable as far as epic stories, but it was just fun meeting so many people, and I really hope to be able to do it again. Hopefully BotCon will be really close this coming year. So
wicked. Seth, how about you? You got a story you want to tell? You want to relate?
Yeah, I mean, we did get to meet a lot of people, but I mean, there was never a moment of like someone running up on me and being like, oh dude, you're on the podcast, and then acting like crazy, like nothing particularly funny. that I could think of. I mean, met cool people. I met people from the message board who may or may not have bothered to say anything if it wasn't for the podcast. But got to meet some notable people like Derek Wyatt. That was super fun time. Him like introducing us around to whoever came close, kind of a thing. Like other like people that he had worked with who then seemed to actually have heard of the podcast. Like, I'm just impressed that anybody from outside the message board is even aware that we exist. So it's like those meeting people that aren't like active on TFW is fascinating that it's happening. And then there was that guy. What was this? What's his screen name? Cool Sucks. That was interesting.
Oh, Cook Sucks. Interesting.
Yeah, that was weird. That happened. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool.
Okay.
I'm glad that there are people that appreciate what we do and never don't say hi. Just say, hey, what's up? And then I'll stand there awkwardly until you go away.
Seth Buzzard, never don't say hi. September 2nd, 2009.
Can I quick change my story to the time a guy came up to me and was like, hey, are you D-Fuzz? And I was like, no, man, sorry. And he's like, oh, okay.
You know what? D-Fuzz actually just told me the other day, he was like, you're going to PAX? You should have told me. I go like every year except this year. I was like, oh. I miss D-Fuzz. But I'm going to try to go to PAX like every year since it's actually like, it's less than $100 for me to go over there, so I have no reason not to. I do have a bunch. I have a billion weird stories. Less if I wipe out the YouTube side of it, I admit. But there was a really cool story. It actually involves Seth, because I'm trying to stick to a really positive one, because I don't want to like go like, man, yeah, I met this creep, and blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to relate like one of my favorite, most positive stories. It was when Seth and myself were in the lineup for merchandise at BotCon, the lovely five-hour whatever lineup. A fellow came up to us, and I actually just pulled up his Facebook page just so I would not do my awesome thing of constantly forgetting his name. It was Sean Robertson. Came up, said he likes the podcast, and he gave us like 5 billion vinyl stickers of the podcast logo. And that was friggin' cool. I still have a ton of those on my fridge and whatnot. So, Sean Robertson, props. You are like one of my favorite convention stories to tell for excellent, holy good reasons.
That's awesome.
That was when we ended up hanging out with that dude, Empire, like all night.
Just yeah.
Some dude who said hi and then ended up hanging out with us. So that could happen to you.
I forgot about Empire too. Like
we were in line
for the toys, and he was talking. And I was just like, "Oh, are you on TFW?" He's like, "Oh, you're." I was like, "What's your name?" He's like, "Empire," you know. But the E's a three, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I know you. You're the guy with Blitzwing and Lugnut in your SIG." And I was like, "Yeah, I know you." He's like, "Oh yeah, I know you too. I listened to the podcast." And I was like, "Oh snap!" So that was cool because I was talking to him for like 5 minutes. I had no idea who he was, but apparently he knew who I was.
Yeah, we ended up, like, cool. He wasn't, like, following us or anything. It's just, like, we ended up hanging out with him all over the place because we ended up in the same lineups, like, everywhere. That and the merchandise lineup was, like, 5 hours. So whoever you are next to in a five-hour lineup, you end up getting to know better. I got to know Seth real well.
Yeah, you did.
Got it on video. So can I
change my story to the time Katie Gerald's guard forward for the Seattle Storm, number 4, came up to me and was like, oh my god, you're Drew Iden from WTF and TFW. And I was like, oh my god, you're Katie Gerald from number 4, guard forward for the Seattle Storm. She's like, yeah, I know. I average like points per game 4.1, rebounds 1.3 per game. It's amazing. So we had a great time talking about that.
Man, my stories get trumped every single time. Every single time.
Seattle Storm, baby. They're winning it all. WTF is the official supporting podcast of the Seattle Storm.
I'm looking forward to the private Seattle Storm WTF and TFW party we will be having in Seattle at PAX. So it will be excellent. It will be good times. Seattle Me and Sue Storm. Bird are going to play some Dance Dance Revolution. It's going to be good. It's going to be rocking.
Seattle Storm lap dances.
Yeah. I was about to tell one that last little story from BotCon, which was that me and Seth and I think Gog was there. I can't remember. We were like, Seth had this awesome little app on his iPhone, and we tried like recording an audio vlog or blog from the lineup.
Audio boo.
Audio boo. There we go.
Audio boo.
And that was kind of weird because I that's also part of what sold me on the iPhone. Damn it.
You got back one?
Not yet, but I'm very close. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's just smugly going, yeah. Mm-hmm. I go to BotCon all like, yeah, iPhones, pff, whatever. Leave BotCon like, I want an iPhone. They ought to pay you and Gog like a friggin' commission, I swear.
They should.
Well, do it, Apple.
Everyone email Steve Jobs. Make it happen.
Yeah, man. Me and Camille Little, we'll stand up for you there. We're at Camille Little's. Number 20 on the storms.
Remember at BotCon 2006 when we were standing outside and people were lined up to buy the first iPhones?
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah, was that an Apple store lineup or was that somewhere else?
Yeah, there was an Apple store in the mall.
Yeah, oh. Yeah.
And we were making fun of them, which was ironic because I think
those dorks.
Later that night we would all be in lines for hours on end.
Anyway, I hope that that somehow at some point answered the question, Nemesis Predaking. It's good seeing you at TFCon, as always. Check out his YouTube page. He's basically running, like, a Radicon's YouTube channel. It's pretty neat. What's also pretty neat is we are now at the end of the recording. So, we're done for this week. I'm going to PAX tomorrow. And
woo-hoo!
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Go Seattle Storm!
Yeah, go Seattle Storm. Do you guys got anything to add? Or are we all set to go?
I have 17 back? Cobra Commanders.
17?!
Traders, they're here to stay.